Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Wednesday, April 22nd, and we are covering the biggest stories from yesterday, April 21, 2026. This is episode number 373, and we have a really packed show for you today.
We really do. Today we are looking at the newly announced Framework Laptop 13 Pro, which had the community buzzing. We will also dig into a fantastic compilation called The Laws of Software Engineering that sparked a massive debate about premature optimization. Then we're looking at the release of ChatGPT Images 2.0 and how it handles some absurdly complex prompts. Finally, we have a double header of Anthropic drama, covering the confusing state of OpenClaw integration and the uproar over Anthropic quietly removing Claude code from their $20 Pro plan.
Let us kick things off with hardware. The top story yesterday, breaking 1,000 points, was the announcement of the Framework Laptop 13 Pro. Framework has built its entire brand around repairability and modularity, but whenever a company announces a Pro version, there is always that fear that they are going to abandon their old ecosystem.
Exactly. But Framework did the exact opposite here, and the Hacker News thread was full of praise for it. The new 13 Pro features a new lower chassis, a larger battery, and a new chassis top with a haptic touchpad. And the kicker is that almost every individual upgrade can be hot-swapped back into the older designs. One commenter named Chizd pointed out that this is a huge extra lift that Framework did not have to do, but it completely validates their mission.
Yeah, another user named Jason Borski hit the nail on the head. They said this backward compatibility is essentially Framework's core value proposition. If they started releasing a ton of different parts that didn't work together, they would sunset parts so fast that their repairability claims would be useless. People pay a premium for Framework laptops specifically because they expect moves like this. Otherwise, as the commenter said, you might as well just buy a ThinkPad or a Dell XPS.
It is funny you mentioned ThinkPads, because someone else brought up the legendary FrankenPads from China, where people are still using an X61 chassis 15 years after release. People are already planning their own ship of Theseus builds with this new framework. A user named CGE mentioned they are going to take their relatively recent AMD mainboard and put it in the new chassis with the new battery, keyboard, speakers, and touchpad. Eventually, the only original parts left will be the bezel and some expansion cards.
There was a really interesting debate in the comments about the new haptic touchpad, though. Some people think haptic trackpads are the secret sauce that makes MacBooks so pleasant to use. But you have this whole other camp of old-school power users who absolutely hate them. They want physical buttons. They argue that separating the pointing surface from the clicking surface prevents misclicks and involuntary pointer movements.
I get that. Someone even complained about palm rejection on the older massive trackpads. But overall, the sentiment is overwhelmingly positive. Even the battery upgrade, which requires you to buy the new bottom cover because the battery is physically larger, feels fair to people. It is just refreshing to see a tech company actually stick to its stated ideals in 2026.
Speaking of ideals, let us move to our second story, which is a website simply called Laws of Software Engineering. It gathered over 800 points. It is a really clean, searchable collection of 56 principles and patterns that shape our industry. Things like Conway's Law, Brooks' Law, and the Peter Principle.
It is a great resource, but the Hacker News comments immediately zeroed in on one specific law, and that is Donald Knuth's famous quote, "Premature optimization is the root of all evil." A commenter named Gub-42 kicked off a massive thread saying this is one of the principles they hate the most, purely because of how badly it gets misinterpreted today.
Right. Context is everything. That quote comes from a 1974 paper. Back then, optimizing meant writing assembly code and counting CPU cycles. It was incredibly tedious. But today, as the commenters pointed out, performance is mostly about architectural choices. You have to think about performance right from the start. If you build a system with unnecessary network round trips or synchronous blocking calls, you cannot just optimize that later with a profiler. You have to rewrite the architecture.
Exactly. Late optimization is just as bad as premature optimization now. Another user named Austin Cheney called it the most misunderstood statement in all of programming. The original sentiment was just about not spending unnecessary effort increasing performance in an unmeasured way. But somehow, over the decades, it mutated into an excuse for developers to never measure anything or care about performance at all.
That led to a hilarious and slightly depressing tangent in the comments about how many senior developers today don't know how to use basic tools. people were sharing stories about developers with 10 years of experience who don't know what a profiler is or who cannot use a debugger. One guy shared an interview story from Microsoft where he was asked how a debugger breakpoint works under the hood. He started explaining how you swap out an instruction for an INT3 interrupt, and the interviewer stopped him and said, "I just wanted to see if you knew what an INT3 was, because most people don't."
Wow, it really shows the layers of abstraction we're dealing with now. Someone else mentioned interviewing senior Java developers who had no idea how many bits were in basic elementary data types. But to be fair, as another user pointed out, the JVM abstracts a lot of that away. Still, it is a great thread that reminds us why understanding the underlying system still matters, even when we're building in the cloud.
Moving from human abstractions to artificial ones, our third story is the launch of ChatGPT Images 2.0 by OpenAI. This got around 560 points. OpenAI hosted a live stream and published a system card for it, touting its improved reasoning capabilities.
The real story here is how the Hacker News community actually tests these claims. The user Minimaxier, who was well known for AI testing, shared a fascinating prompt he used to evaluate the model. He asked it to create an 8x8 grid of the Pokémon whose national Pokédex numbers correspond to the first 64 prime numbers.
That is delightfully evil.
It gets better. He added strict formatting rules, a label in the top left, Menlo font, white text on black fill, and absolutely no hashtag symbol. Then he added style rules. If the Pokédex number is one digit, draw it in 8-bit style. Two digits, charcoal drawing. Three digits, ukiyo-e style.
That is a brilliant test of domain knowledge, heuristic following, and spatial reasoning. How did ChatGPT Images 2.0 do?
It failed pretty hard. Minimaxier compared it to another model called Nano Banana Pro. Nano Banana got the numbers, the Pokémon, and the styles correct, though the images looked a bit lazily generated or possibly plagiarized from search. But ChatGPT's new model was a mess. It applied the art styles by row instead of by the digit length of the Pokédex number. It drew the wrong Pokémon for several of the prime numbers. The font was wrong. It was just a complete failure of instruction following.
That is so interesting because OpenAI is pushing the reasoning angle so hard. Another user, Simon Willison, tried a different approach. He asked it to generate a Where's Waldo-style image, but instead of Waldo, you have to find a raccoon holding a ham radio.
Did it work?
Well, his first attempt failed, but then he used the API to crank the settings to high quality and maximum resolution, which is 3840 by 2160, and it actually worked. He posted the image, and you can indeed find a little raccoon in a green vest holding a walkie-talkie near the bottom left of this massive, incredibly detailed crowd scene. The catch? That single image cost him 40 cents to generate via the API.
40 cents for one image? That really highlights the compute costs we are dealing with right now, which actually transitions us perfectly into our final two stories. Both are about Anthropic, and both are causing a massive uproar regarding compute limits and pricing.
Yeah, this is a messy situation. The first story is about OpenClaw, which is an open source coding agent. The OpenClaw team updated their documentation to say that Anthropic staff confirmed that using the Claude CLI in an OpenClaw style way is allowed again.
But the reality on the ground is totally different. Peter, one of the OpenClaw developers, chimed in on the Hacker News thread. He explained that a Claude code developer publicly stated on social media that this headless CLI usage was fine. So the OpenClaw team spent a ton of time building around that guidance. But in practice, Anthropic's backend is still actively blocking parts of their system prompts.
Peter mentioned it is trivial to hack around the classifier by just renaming a few things, but he does not want to play that cat and mouse game. So they are in this weird limbo where Anthropic says it is allowed, but the API actively fights them. And people are frustrated because they built complex workflows trusting those social media assurances.
And that frustration boiled over in our final story. Ed Zitron posted on Blue Sky that Anthropic quietly removed Claude Code from its $20 a month pro subscription pricing page. Someone noticed this, and it blew up on Hacker News with over 400 points.
Anthropic's head of growth eventually responded on social media, claiming this was just an A-B test. He said they are looking at different options to keep delivering a great experience and promised that if it affects existing subscribers, they will get plenty of notice.
The Hacker News crowd did not buy that for a second. A/B testing pricing and feature access on paying users without their consent is a massive red flag.
One user pointed out that A/B tests only work if the subjects do not realize they are one. The fact that a potential customer could open an incognito window and suddenly see that a flagship feature like Claude Code is missing from the $20 tier is mind-boggling.
The comments were brutal. People are saying Anthropic is not acting like a serious company right now. You have users paying $20 a month, hitting their usage limits almost immediately, and now they're worried features are going to be paywalled behind the $100 or $200 enterprise plans.
Someone named Jay Slavagoat compared it to OpenAI's Codex. They said they easily hit the weekly limit on Claude, even on the $200 plan, but they never hit rate limits on Codex. It really feels like Anthropic is hitting the physical limits of their inference capacity. They just do not have the compute to support the demand, so they are running these weird shadow tests to see if they can reduce usage without losing subscribers.
Which is a terrible way to handle it. As one commenter noted, if demand is up and supply is constrained, just communicate that clearly. Segmenting features silently destroys trust. Several people in the thread mentioned they literally canceled their pro subscriptions yesterday because of this news. They just cannot trust Anthropic to support their daily workflows reliably.
It is a stark reminder of the dangers of relying on closed APIs for critical work. A lot of commenters were saying this is exactly why local inference needs to improve faster. When you rely on a cloud provider, your tools can change, break, or get priced out of your reach overnight based on an A/B test.
It is definitely a space we will keep watching. Between the high costs of OpenAI's new image models and Anthropic's compute struggles, the economics of AI are getting very real, very fast.
That is all the time we have for today. From the incredible hardware modularity of Framework to the timeless laws of software engineering and the ongoing growing pains of the AI industry, it was a fascinating day on Hacker News.
Thanks for tuning in to HN Pod. We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories. Have a great day and happy coding.